Welcome to the Junior Golf Blueprint, episode 80, presented by Matt Walter, PGA Tour Professional. How are we doing out there in podcast land? Thank you all for tuning in to the podcast and listening to the material that we present to you guys. Today's episode, we have a little bit of an update in regards to an NCAA rules change for recruitment. And also, we have an update from our title sponsor, Future Champions Golf. So, fun episode. Going to throw you some nuggets here real quick first about the NCAA rules. I'm looking forward to having Brandy Jackson back on to talk about these rules and how they've changed yet again, what to expect, but also to hear all the cool things that Chris Smeal from Future Champions Golf has going for us. Should be a great little episode, not too long, but either way, hope you are off to a hot start this spring, and I hope everybody's tournament season's going off really well. I've been very fortunate to have a bunch of kids doing well for their own games, so I'm excited to see what this summer holds for a bunch of my junior golfers. But with that said, let's talk about a couple things for NCAA rules that drop from May 1st. And like I said, I'll have Brandy Jackson on hopefully some in the next couple weeks to drop a few more nuggets for us and explain it a little bit better. So, quick little highlights. Official visits, unofficial visits, and off-campus contact is now allowed starting August 1st of a recruit's junior year. So it used to be September, now it's August 1st. Correspondence, private messages are allowed to be initiated by the coach after June 15th of a recruit's sophomore year. So that's a lot earlier. There will be no phone communication allowed with a college coach prior to that June 15th date after the recruit's sophomore year. So the recruit can still call an email, but the coach can't accept it or respond back in any way. So ongoing calls initiated by the college coach are allowed starting that June 15th date after the recruit's sophomore year. And the coaches, like I said a second ago, can't accept these phone calls until after that date. Otherwise, you're just going to call and leave a voicemail. But you can always email the coach and start that conversation that way. So a couple little rules changes. Most of that goes into effect May 1st. So this is episodes dropping on today, the 3rd. So that was 2 days ago. But like I said, we'll get into a little bit more of those nuggets later on. But now, I would like to bring on Chris Smeal again. Let him drop all the cool events that are happening in Future Champions Golf. Also talk a little bit about how he's having a huge turnout in junior golf for the girls' side of things. So having big events for girls' golf to compete against each other, which is a big thing, which I think is awesome because there's just not enough of that. To find a lot of competitive golf events for girls. And then talk about how one of his players has done pretty well for herself winning the Big East. So pretty good little podcast, short and sweet. Hope y'all enjoy, and I'll talk to you on the other side of the interview. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Today on the podcast, we have the pleasure to bring on our title sponsor, Chris Smeal from Future Champions Golf. And we're going to be talking about some of the awesome new things that Future Champions Golf has going on this summer and some of the big tournaments and events that they have coming up. And we're going to let Chris himself come up here and talk about what you can do to get involved and participate and the opportunities it can bring to you and your junior golfers for potential college recruitment phases. So with that, I'm going to let Chris take the helm and let him talk about all the cool stuff that's going on with Future Champions.
Awesome. Thanks, Matt. Good to be on the show again. So this summer, our Future Champions Golf, our International Junior Golf Championship, it's annually held in San Diego the week prior to IMG Junior World. Years ago, it started as just a prep event for that event, but it's kind of turned into its own big event. This year, we already have 400 kids signed up, ages 5 to 18. Across 5 days of competition, The older kids play the first few days and the younger kids play the second 2 days. So it's still an open event. We do up to, I think, about 650 kids. We should have no problem reaching that based on where we're at right now. So it's a huge event. All the players get tons of swag from our sponsors. This year's title sponsor for that event is Tough as Steel. They get over $100 in gifts from them. And then just recently too, we got a new partnership with Short Par 4. So everybody that signs up for any event in 2019, they're going to get their first month free with Short Par 4, which if you haven't checked out their stuff, it's pretty amazing. Box shipped right to your house each month. So we're super excited about what's going on with that event.
Yeah, man, the size fields that you guys can draw for some of these events is absolutely astonishing. What kind of manpower does it take to put on something like that? And how does that prep work? How do you make that happen, basically?
Yeah, so our big events, I mean, we have three really big events that have, 500 to 650 kids a year. So we are a small staff. There's only like really three full-time people on staff, but we have a rules crew of about 15 retired PGA guys or still active PGA guys that will work our events when we have them. So for the big events, we pretty much use everybody, if not even hire a few more, based on how many courses we have going at the same time. And then, really we have a core of volunteers. We have a great group of, all my college students or kids that used to play the tour. They love helping out during the summer. So we have, workers there. We really, really like having that because they've been at the event and they know exactly what kind of goes on and how we run it. And we just do a lot of training kind of behind the scenes leading up to the event to get everybody ready to run an event the way we see fit. So,
yeah, I mean,
somehow we pull all together.
It takes a good crew, and when you have like you were saying, like kids who've played it and know both sides of the ball in that sense, where they've played in the event and now help run the event, they kind of have an idea of what to expect. What kind of college recruitment goes on at these events? I mean, if any, like I'm sure some coaches are going to show up and watch all these kids. How do you kind of help push kids around to help them find the right coaches and the coaches find the right players?
Yeah. So we do email marketing to every coach in the country. So we send out typically a monthly email that lets the coaches know what we have going on. And then especially for the big events, like our couple big summer ones that we have, we send out invitations, we send out hotel information and show them the fields and try to get them to come. And I mean, last year we had 40 coaches at this first one, the international event in San Diego. And we had 22 coaches at the Callaway World Championship out in the desert a couple weeks after that. So, and then from there, I mean, they're on site. We put their names on the board. We put their logos up so everybody knows who's there. And then the coaches kind of do their thing. They usually know who they're going to be recruiting when they come out. But they'll always find and see, a bunch of other top talent, and whoever pops their name up on the leaderboard that final day, there's going to be a lot of coaches watching. So it's always exciting to see all the coaches out there following.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm sure there's over the years, there's probably been a lot of really kind of fun stories that take shape at this event that, probably help, make or break players' careers too. Is there any, memorable moments for you from hosting this event over the last few years? And, what does that look like for you as a coach?
Yeah, I mean, years ago, I think Aaron Wise was recruited for Oregon out of this event, or our national championship, one of those two. It's at the same golf course. So, we've had so many top players get recruited or think they were going somewhere else. And then, they have a hot week. I think it was Greg Gildea who ended up going to Washington. He was a pretty decent player, but then he came out and shot 6 or 8 under at this event 1 year, and he had everybody all over him. So I think it's just a good opportunity to be in front of a lot of coaches, but also the boys 15-18 field the last 5 to 6 years has been 180 boys. So if you're good enough to win that division or even come in the top 30, I mean, you're playing with kids from around the world who are, you know, all scratch golfers. You must be a pretty good player. And the girls field has been a full 90 players the last several years too. So it's still one of the biggest fields in girls junior golf as well.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing, right? I mean, you're pulling in, you know, not just anybody to play in this stuff. I mean, this is like top players. And to your point, I mean, if you win this event, it's not like you're competing against a bunch of little fish in your hometown pond. I mean, you're playing against all the big fish from those ponds coming into one big pond right now in that tournament.
Right.
And yeah, you know, it's interesting. I always find it interesting when you're watching players develop and grow up and how, you know, one win like that would, you know, change the fate of their recruitment. Where I had a player like that 2 years ago win the Tennessee Junior Am, and all of a sudden, like, there's a whole different line of phone calls that were coming through his front door.
yeah.
It's interesting how that can put, you know, people on the map all of a sudden. So, give us a rundown of a couple other events you have cooking in your back pocket for Future Champions Golf coming up that you want people to be aware of that maybe they can sign up for and participate in themselves.
Yeah, so that last one I mentioned, the international, that is an open event, so anybody can sign up. If you're a competitive player, you can register for that event. We do have our FCG Callaway World Championship. That's about a week and a half after the international. That's at 10 championship courses in Palm Desert, California. That's July 15th through 17th. That event is almost sold out. It is, you're supposed to qualify for that event. Application, which we'll have to qualify over the next month. We'll pretty much fill the field. Anybody that wants to apply for the event, and if we have any extra spots in the resume, the top resumes will get selected to come out and play in that event. So, yeah, we have that going on too.
That's awesome, man. And yeah, you've kind of hit on it a little bit before, but you've picked up some new sponsors that's offering some new swag for kids and new opportunities for them. What's give us a shout out to a couple of the sponsors that are helping you expand your tour and expand your horizons.
So we're super excited. We just started working with Short Par 4. Short Par 4 is a company that delivers a custom box to your house once a month. With $100 worth of awesome swag and gear. So they're giving every player that registers for any tournament on our schedule in 2019, they're giving them their first month free, which is a huge value. So we're excited to work with them. And they have some awesome ambassadors in the program, including Alexi Thompson and Ricky Fowler. From there, Lampkin Golf, Golf Grips, they just signed on to be a sponsor for 2019, and they're doing some really special stuff, some discounts for the kids. They'll be at several events this year, including the World Championship out in the desert, and just some really cool, even our National Tour Player of the Year is going to get to play a round of golf with Bob Lampkin at San Diego Country Club in San Diego, which is one of the nicest courses probably in California. So that'll be fun. And then we just partnered with Laurel Springs School. They're an online education system for kids that are playing a ton of golf and can't do the traditional route. So we're going to work with them this year and help those kids that are, you know, going to take that route.
Yeah, I mean, that's awesome, man. I mean, it just makes a big difference to be able to have that kind of support in what you're doing. And I know what you guys are doing over there is just top notch. There is another little cool thing that I noticed on, you know, your website that I want to bring the attention to a lot of listeners too, is that you've done a lot for growing the game of golf for junior girls, having a couple of the largest events for girls to participate and compete at a high level. I mean, can you enlighten us a little bit about that and how that's kind of like taking shape for your tour?
Yeah, so we're with the girls side. I mean, this year, if you look back at our first ever FCG International back in 2008, I think we had 13 girls in the 15 to 18 division. This year, we're still 2 months before the event. We have 73 girls signed up, and that field will max at 90. So I'm sure we'll hit 90 girls for that one. then the event 2 weeks later, we have two courses booked for the girls 15 to 18. We already have over 100 girls signed up, and we should have a field of 150 girls just in the 15 to 18 division, which is going to be an awesome competition. They get to play the Dinosaur course, which is the same course as the LPGA A&A Inspiration. Last year, we also had the winners jump into the pond. So I think and girls golf in general is growing. I mean, exponentially, from if you just look at the trend over the years, just in our tour alone, every year just seems to be a lot more girls. So we're super excited to having them out there.
Yeah, man, I think that's the tough part with like girls golf in most areas is that it's really hard to find a group of girls that can compete against each other, where it's not like, you know, one girl from here and maybe two or three from this town, and they don't see each other at every event. They might see each other like a couple events, you know, every couple months. And so to have that size field with a bunch of the top girls being able to go at it against each other, you know, it helps your recruitment status, and that helps a lot of the girls looking to compete. You know, I mean, I think that's really kind of a unique situation, and not many areas have that.
Yeah, there's not that many events year round. I know Junior World they'll have a couple hundred or 150 girls compete, but there's really no other events that have, you know, that many girls. So we're super pumped to have two big events like that back to back.
Yeah, man, that's clutch.
Yeah, hopefully lots of friendships made and good experiences off the course as well.
Yeah, definitely. And one of your girls that you've been coaching just had a nice big win. You want to enlighten us on that?
Yeah, Michaela Fitzpatrick. I've been teaching her since she's 13. She's from Arizona, and she'd come out every summer and in the winter break months. But she just won the Big East Conference Championship. I think she won by 10 shots. It was an awesome performance. She was number one player in the division going in too, and won that. So super proud of her, and she's off to regionals this weekend. So yeah, a lot of exciting stuff for her, and she's going to graduate soon, and can't believe it's been 4 years already.
So how long have you been working with her as a student?
Since 13. So man, it's almost 10 years now.
So how, like, so talk to the girls that listen to the podcast, you know, what did her progression look like as she got, you know, through the junior ranks to college and her college career? What's her career kind of been like to be able to get to that stage and win at that level?
Yeah. I mean, when I first met her, she was not very good. She liked the game and she was trying hard, and, she swung fast, a lot of moving parts, not really sure what she was doing, but, she just every year got better and she worked really hard. You know, when she was going through the recruiting process, I was pushing really hard for her for a couple, you know, top universities, especially locally that I would love her to attend, and they kind of overlooked her. And I think that also gave her a little chip on her shoulder. And, she's just, you know, continued to work hard and has become an under par shooter. She has attitude, she has game, she's got fire. And I just played with her over winter break a few times, and I mean, her game looks amazing. So I look forward to her pushing towards the LPGA here once she's done with school. I mean, it's just constant progression. And I think that's what every kid should really strive for, is just to keep getting better, you know, every day, keep working towards, you know, that 1% better as you keep going and, you know, not look back.
Yeah. I mean, and that's the tough part, right? I mean, I feel like, there's a push right now for kids to be really, really good at a really, really young age. And that doesn't necessarily have to be the case. And, I know I've been talking to a couple of the girls that I teach that are even in that bracket where they kind of struggle with the confidence every once in a while, if they have a couple bad days. And, you know, and I think it's more of just getting there, not when you get there. And
right.
And the mentality can't be that you focus your attention on the results, and that's how you deem whether you're being successful or a good golfer or not. It has to be, you know, putting in the work, putting in the time, and know that you're going to have good days and bad days.
Right. Yeah. Make the system more solid, not just you know, you don't have to play good just once. You know, you have to just keep getting better as a player and as a person all the time. And you'll, as time goes on, you'll just continue to thrive.
Yeah, definitely. And to her point, she went out there and won, you know, at a very large level. So, I mean, that doesn't happen on a straight curve to the top. There's probably a lot of things she had to deal with and build and learn and grow from. And that's awesome. Sure. You got a player that's out there about to ready to go take on for money. That's always a fun little time to go hunting around for a little bit.
Excited.
So Chris, before we kind of wrap things up, give us, you know, any kind of rundown of anything else you want the listeners to know as far as what Future Champions Golf has, as far as like a, you know, for the junior golf side of things, besides the tournaments and stuff like that. If you got anything going on in your academy, give us a little bit of an extra share for us and help promote your brand a little bit more.
Yeah, I think just our latest thing, we are bringing back our San Diego Junior Amateur Tournament, which when we first started that event was the winter break event that now has become our FCG National Championship. We renamed it just because the event got so big and San Diego Junior Amateur didn't really have the same, attraction as for how big of an event it was. But we are bringing the San Diego Junior Amateur back, and it's going to be in the summer. It's going to be this August 17th through 19th. It's at an awesome course called Encinitas Ranch in San Diego, right near the ocean. That's beautiful. And that'll be a 54-hole world amateur ranked event. So we're excited. Kids from all over the country can come, and it'll be a strong field and a lot of fun. So,
man, that's awesome. Well, it's you're continuing on with great things, sir. And I appreciate your help with us and the podcast. And I look forward to continuing to get little updates from you and what you guys got cooking. And hopefully we can do this again after the world championships and the international event, so that way we can get a recap of how that all shook down and you know who won and all that great stuff, and maybe there's a good story for us waiting at the end of that event.
Awesome. Thanks all right, so Chris. Much.
Yeah, brother. And one last time, give everybody the best way to find you guys or to find you on social media or the web.
Yeah, on Instagram it's Future Champions Golf or Chris Smeal Golf, and then on website it's futurechampionsgolf.com.
Perfect, man. Well, have a great day, sir, and thanks for popping on and giving us a little update.
You're the best. Thanks, buddy.
And that's a wrap, ladies and gentlemen. Hope you enjoyed this little quick update for the podcast and all the cool things that's going on with Future Champions Golf and all the more confusion that we have to deal with NCAA. But we're going to get it all clarified for you guys, and I hope you feel free to reach out to me if you need any more further guidance. You can always find us on Facebook, the Junior Golf Blueprint, or you can reach out to me on social media at MattWalterPGA, or even hit me up with an email, MattWalterGolf@gmail.com. And don't forget our title sponsor, Future Champions Golf. Go check out some of these awesome events they got going for us. They're killing it out there in California. He's got plenty of great events, especially if you're a junior golf girl looking for some high-quality competition. Go tee it up. The events he talked about today are great recruitment opportunities to get yourself a college scholarship and play at the next level. So go check them out at Future Champions Golf on social media and www.futurechampionsgolf.com. And if you would be so kind to always help us out on the podcast app, subscribe, leave a review, and leave us a 5-star rating. It helps us on the charts. So with that, ladies and gentlemen, have a wonderful weekend. Hope you're enjoying some nice spring weather, and we look forward to talking to you again soon.